We have a Tony nominee, ladies and gentlemen. Very pleased and proud to have the one of the best featured actress nominees with us, and she's in the play that may very well take a whole bunch of awards on Sunday night, August Osage County. We have the lady who plays Maddie Faye Aiken, Rondi Reed. Welcome, Rondi, to
Hi,
the special.
Hi, thank you, Dave.
So congratulations.
Thanks so
first
much.
Of all. And so basically, if you look at your resume, the huge chunk of it, yes, you've done a bit of Broadway, but Chicago and Steppenwolf Theater is where you got your start. Is it true that you've done about 60 shows there?
I have. I've done about 60 plays. I call myself the crone of Steppenwolf, or the elder stateswoman of Steppenwolf. Originally, they had asked me to join the company, and I went off with my boyfriend. I said, no, but I'll come back. And 4 years later, they invited me in, and so it was like in 1979-80.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I've been working there ever since with a little forays out to Hollywood and into New York and here and there. But the majority of my time was spent working at Steppenwolf, yeah.
And one of the cool things, I guess, is that you were able to make a livable, sustainable career working in Chicago theater and not necessarily having to have, you know, day jobs or...
Right. I mean, I think that was something that happened. When Steppenwolf first started out, of course, you know, they all had day jobs. Laurie Metcalf was a secretary, and John Malkovich worked in an office supply store, and, you know, everybody had their various sundry jobs that they had to do. Once we moved into the city proper, we began to pay our people, and then we had a couple of shows that sort of put us on the map, and then we gradually increased our salary, and, you know, it was something that really sort of got built from the ground up, and now we've, you know, we've been in existence now, you know, for quite a number of years,
sure.
over 30 years, and so it's a rather large arts not-for-profit institution.
And one of the cool things is, of course, now with your having a Tony nomination in such a high-profile role, in such a high-profile Pulitzer-winning show, you're getting the name recognition that in some ways alluded you, say, 20 years ago, when some of the folks that you mentioned, the Metcalfs and the Malkoviches and the Sinises.
Yeah.
But this is a very cool quote from Performing, the Chicago newspaper, from 2 years ago, where you said, I remember having an epiphany. It was when all our biggest stars were bigger stars were getting noticed, and I wouldn't even get a mention in a review. I was getting so frustrated and so upset, but there came a point when I thought, I got to get over this ego thing and do my work. Clearly, if my work was better, I might get noticed. And that was a big turning point, and I lost a certain amount of self-consciousness. I began to take bigger risks, and I began to work harder.
Mm-hmm.
Still true, I assume. Still,
yes, it is still true.
And it worked. Look at that.
Yeah. It's surprising, but it does... You know, and it's different for everybody. I mean, I know I've been doing Wicked in Chicago for the last couple of years prior to this, and I'm getting ready to go back to it. And I work with, you know, the kids in the ensemble are very young. They're in their 20s, and you see a lot of younger people come into this business, and they expect to have it happen overnight. And, that may be the case, but usually you've got to put in some serious time, and, you know, you may or may not make it real big, and it's all relative as to how successful, you know, you think success is defined as.
Well, I think it's an interesting thing that you mentioned that you're going back into Wicked at some point in Chicago. Where, or is it the tour, or is it specifically
no, it's
the sit-down
production that's been there for, it's going into its third year, and I initially opened it and ran it. I was in it for 2 years. And then the producer, David Stone, who is responsible for all of the Wickeds, said, you know, we like to shake things up creatively and give people a little break and switch people in and out, and so we're going to put you on a little bit of a hiatus. And I was able to do this play at Steppenwolf with Tracy, and then I was ready to come back to Wicked, and David had seen the play. He said, you know, this play is going to go to New York, and I think you need to go with it. It's very important. And he said, we'll do whatever we need to do to make it work.
And yet you're choosing, though, to leave August Osage County, even though it's a bit of a hit. It's certainly a critical huge hit, and you may, I'm not saying you have as good a shot of winning the Tony Award as any of the other people in the category. Why not stay with it?
Well, I think, you know, if you come down to it, we've now been doing this for over a year from the time we began it in Chicago. It ran for almost 3 months in Chicago, and rehearsals included. You know, I really felt like I had a commitment to honor the Wicked company, and the producers had been so very, very honest and with me and very supportive of anything I did outside of Wicked, and they had let me go off my first year and do another play. And I really have a strong loyalty to David as a producer and to the project, and I love doing Wicked, and I get to be at home for a little while.
Huh.
There are rumors this play will end up in London for a little bit, so I'm definitely going to hopefully join back up and get a chance to do that. So.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Now, again, we keep coming back to the Chicago thing because it is your home base. How would you say that the Chicago theater scene as a whole is different from the New York mostly commercial theater scene?
Well, I'll tell you, New York is a tough town. I have nothing but admiration for New York actors that work here and live here and stick it out. I mean, if I didn't have Steppenwolf, I don't know that I would still be in theater if I had been in New York or if I had been in L.A. Steppenwolf was the family, the artistic home that a lot of people long for and search for and never have. And the actors in New York are such, I mean, they're terrific people. In the times that I've worked here, I've had nothing but terrific experiences with them. And being a Tony nominee, to go to these lunches and, you know, receptions and stuff and meet all these fabulous, I mean, it's as big a thrill for me to meet them as anything.
Cool.
Because you're looking at a, you know, a peer level group, and Julie White, who gave the speech at this one lunch at the Rainbow Room, said, you know, you're in the class of Tony 2008, and nobody can take that away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it feels like. It feels like you're in a very select group, and maybe it'll only be for this season, but you enjoy it while you're there, and it's a really fun, wonderful experience to get to be in that theater community that is Broadway. I mean, Chicago's a much smaller city. It has what they call off-loop theater, which is the non-commercial theater, the not-for-profit, and the storefront. And I think surely that's because it's still possible to do that economically in Chicago. I mean, it's not possible to rent a storefront, really, in New York and do your own theater anymore. I mean, it
was 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think 5 to 10 years ago it probably was. But, I mean, we're talking about in Chicago something like 170, 180 theaters. Off-loop theaters. And, of course, the thing is with this, every season, some rise and some fall and some last and some don't, and the competition is stiff, you know, as to what young group is going to make it and who's going to pattern themselves after what and, you know, what their particular form of theater that they do. You know, there's a theater called the House Theater in Chicago, and all these kids went to school together in Texas, and they decided, you know, we're going to make the move to Chicago, and they do a real specific brand of theater that sort of is stamped with their artistic sensibility, and we have some other, you know, some other ones that really have their own sensibility and their own vision, and then you have established theaters that are devoted to new plays, and it's just a really great, artistic,
yeah,
you know, garden sense, I guess, in that aspect.
And you have been recognized by them, too. You won a Joseph Jefferson Award for The Fall to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that old thing of every actor wants to direct. They've also given you the opportunity to do some directing.
Yeah, I have directed. Yeah, that kind of happened by fluke, really. It's like because we always directed each other, and the people that were directing left to go off. I mean, Malkovich left and Sinise left, and they hadn't really had a woman director, and Gary Sinise started talking to me and said, I think we should groom you to direct. And I said, I have no interest in directing. He goes, I said, I don't know how to do it. He said, well, you teach, and that's exactly the same thing.
Hmm.
So he really was the one that kind of pushed me and groomed me a little bit. And I had about a 3 or 4 year period where I directed. I do think it's the hardest job in the theater. I really do, because you have to oversee everything and be responsible for everything, and the buck stops with you. But what it did do was make me the best little actor in a play, because I know how hard it is for a director. It takes a certain vision. Amy Morton's a terrific director, who's also one of the leads in our show, and I think she really has a great objective eye, and I think I'm probably a better acting coach than a director, but Amy really knows how to approach telling the story and making all the elements right, and Anna Shapiro as well as a director, but she was trained as a director, but Amy is, I think, one of our strongest actor-directors.
Well, you've received a pretty great compliment for your acting from the artistic director of Steppenwolf, Martha Leiby, who has said of you, Rondi Reed, the beautiful, irreplaceable quality about Rondi is a sense of emotional connectedness and truth. She's very unfettered in her performances. Not every actor has this. She does not protect her vanity, and that takes incredible courage.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of not. You're just like, oh, yeah, sure.
Well, but you know what that means is she doesn't care what she looks like or sounds like or how ugly it may appear. I mean, and that goes back to my saying there came a point in my work where I realized I had lost my self-consciousness, and that was a huge thing because, you know, an actor, you always like, oh, how do I look? How do I sound? Do the audience like me? Is this dramatic? What am I doing? And once I lost all that junk, and I was able to sort of open myself up to that and use myself a lot more, I think I got better. I mean, but it's an ongoing process, and for young actors, that's hard because at times they don't always know exactly who they are as a person. And there's somewhat of that, you know, and I call myself the quintessential late bloomer because I really think I am. I sort of, you know, there are times in your life where everything comes together and you're put on a path, and seemingly this was one of those projects. I turned this play down 4 times.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even read it. I wouldn't read it. Tracy Letts kept bugging me. I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm in Wicked. I'm happy. I'm making a very nice paycheck. It's a really great job. I'm not going to do your play. No, I'm not even going to read it. And he just would not leave me alone. He said, I wrote this with you in mind. You're the only one. You're the only one who can do this. And you know. And I had done a play of his a few years earlier, a play called Man from Nebraska, which I think is a terrific script as well, and may get a production in New York in the next year or so.
Uh-huh.
But and then he would tell other people to bug me. So I'd be talking to somebody and they'd go, you know, have you thought about Tracy's play? And I'm like, stop with bugging me about his play. So then when Wicked decided to put me on little creative hiatus, I accused Tracy of doing voodoo at night in his apartment or something to get me to do it. But I've learned over the years, too, that what you think you know what you're doing, but there's a bigger plan ahead for you. You just need to get out of the way.
Well, I'm glad whatever you had to do brought you, and that the fifth time, I guess, was the charm. And
yeah,
you chose to do August Osage County. And everybody, please go see August Osage County. It's a really fine play. And see the really fine performance of Rondi Reed while you still can. How long are you in the show?
Oh, I'm only in it for a few more days.
Oh, my God. Everybody, next week, go see Osage County.
But, you know, it's a terrific play regardless. I mean, there's going to be some replacements in the cast. But I have to tell you, the strength of the writing, the strength of the story, and our audiences here from all over the New York area and all across the country that have come in have commented on the strength of the play and what an incredible evening in the theater it is. And, you know, it's an old-fashioned 3-act, you know, very intense drama that's very funny as well and really kind of speaks to what's going on, I think, in the family and in the world that we're living in today.
Well, thank you, Rondi, for speaking with us.
Okay, my
world.
Dear. Thanks so much, Dave.
A pleasure.
Uh-huh.
And
bye-bye.
Best of luck. Bye-bye now.